What do we know in terms of how these alterations relate to efficacy of the various FLT3 inhibitors? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if it was the midostaurin study or the sorafenib study before it that showed a benefit in all patients. I've even heard people say that, quote, there's some kind of FLT3 alteration in most patients. Is that the case?
So I'm not sure there's a FLT3 alteration in most patients, but I think what you're getting at is that these drugs, both sorafenib and midostaurin, are really, they inhibit FLT3, but they're also dirty inhibitors in the sense that they inhibit a variety of other kinases. So as you pointed out, I believe it was 2014, ASH meeting, may have been 2015, the results of a big randomized study combining sorafenib with induction chemotherapy was reported in the plenary session. And what that showed is that for all patients, regardless of FLT3 mutational status, there was an event-free survival benefit, but not an overall survival benefit in those patients in the group that got sorafenib. And that was thought to be maybe perhaps due to off-target effects of the sorafenib that were not the inhibition of FLT3, but inhibiting other kinases. Similarly, there's an ongoing debate with the midostaurin trial whether the results of that trial are a result primarily of inhibition of FLT3, or were there other kinases that were inhibited that may suggest that midostaurin is going to work not only in the FLT3 mutated population, but also in the FLT3 wild type population, such that I believe there's going to be an ongoing clinical study assessing the benefit of midostaurin in combination with chemotherapy in patients who are FLT3 negative.
Right. And I'm curious, too, now that the data from the midostaurin study, what a historic study, has been out there and people have a chance to think about it, discuss it with patients. How would you present it to, let's say, a highly educated patient, maybe a physician who could really understand it in terms of, you know, globally, where they stand getting 7+3 with a FLT3 ITD without something like midostaurin or FLT inhibitor, and how much, from a real clinical human point of view, is the midostaurin really adding? Is it improving the cure rate, for example?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what I tell my patients. So I tell my patients that if you look at the clinical trial with midostaurin and induction chemotherapy, the absolute survival benefit is 7% higher than just getting the induction chemotherapy alone. So it is not a huge change. It certainly improves the overall survival, but it doesn't improve it by 30 or 40%. Having said that, if you are one of those 7% of patients who have an improved overall survival, you have benefit. And I would not, you know, in my patients, I try to treat all my patients like they're my relatives. You know, if this was my dad or my sister or my brother, I would tell them, absolutely, you should get midostaurin to get that small but real survival benefit that was persistent over the life of the study.
Certainly, there are a lot of examples in oncology of drugs that are used all the time with even less benefit than that. And of course, one of the keys is the downside. I mean, they're already going through 7+3, which has a lot of issues. From a practical point of view, how much tolerability toxicity does midostaurin add?
Yeah, so the big issues with midostaurin have been rashes, which typically are not severe. They can be grade 1 or 2. They can resolve with sort of topical steroid type therapy. The other issue, which is a little bit more serious, which doesn't get called out a lot in the clinical trial, but is real if you actually look at the paper, is that there is an incidence of pneumonitis with midostaurin that's a little bit higher than obviously without midostaurin. So that's something that you have to look out for. And the initiation of steroids would be the right thing to do if that kind of pneumonitis flares up. So a little bit of shortness of breath and rash would be the primary issues that happen with midostaurin.
But how many people have you treated with midostaurin? Have you seen any cases of pneumonitis?
Yeah, so we've treated probably about 5 or 6 at my institution. I saw one patient with pneumonitis, which resolved with steroids. I've seen a couple of patients with rash, but nothing that caused them to stop the midostaurin.
Interesting.